if it's going to cost us a lot more money.
In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the municipal building and distributed to the Hunter and Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunter and County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. We all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first items are the special and executive session minutes from December 13th. We'll just put them together, which are the meetings of the special meeting December 13th and the meetings of the special executive session for December 13th. Can I get a motion to approve or any changes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the December 13th. First, we're just doing, the minutes for the December 13th regular meeting and the minutes of the special executive session on December 13th.
Yeah, there's minutes of special meeting, and then there's the minutes of the special executive session minutes.
If I didn't say that, that's what my motion is.
Okay, good. Can I get a second?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Abstain?
Yes.
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 Okay, then we have the, again, the minutes of the special meeting for December 15th, and then the minutes of the executive session meeting minutes for December 15th.
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Now we have the minutes of the regular meeting for December 21st, 2016. A motion to approve or changes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the December 21st regular meeting.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Then we have the minutes of the executive session meeting on December 21st, 2016.
I'll make that motion to accept the minutes of the executive meeting on December 21st, 2016.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 And last one, we have the Lebanon Township Committee meeting, the reorganization meeting from January 4th, 2017.
I'll make a motion to approve the reorganization meeting minutes of January 4th, 2017.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. I get a motion to open to public comment, limited to agenda items only.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Anybody has any public comment on the agenda items? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. The first resolution is a resolution number 02-2017. This was tabled at our reorg meeting for the Ardito and Company auditors. We reached out to them because they had a large increase. They lowered the price, so it's $28,961, including court. Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll approve resolution number 02-2017 with the reduction in the anticipated fee as seen.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Then we have resolution 20-2017. This is for the application for MA 2017 Hickory Run Guide Rail Replacement Grant 00033 to the New Jersey Department of Transportation. We had talked about this last year at budget meeting. This is when the grant needs to go in to hopefully get that. Can I get a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 20-2017, which applies for a grant of $120,000 toward the total cost of $139,875 for guide rail replacement.
I'll second that motion.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Then we have resolution number 21-2017, redemption of tax sale certificate. The amount of $4,248.01 has been collected from CenturyTel, the owner of this property known as Block 56, Lot 13.02, Lebanon Township, for the redemption of tax sale certificate 201607. And this is to authorize the mayor, treasurer, and clerk to sign the check for $4,248.01. Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 21-2017, redemption of tax sale certificate.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Old business. Museum. Chris and whoever from the museum, if you want to come up, state your name and your point in the world, Chris.
What's that?
And your point in the world.
Might be easier to see.
Smaller cover.
Bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Registered architect for more years than I care to mention. And I've been performing design and construction document preparation for the museum handicap bathroom addition. And the sets that you have before you are progress sets. They're not quite ready for bidding or permit yet, but they will be probably in about 2 weeks. I have another sheet to add, and we also have some decisions to make on fixtures and things of that nature. And also some decisions to make on what the museum may be able to get donated for the project and what makes sense to sub in or sub out. So we'll be having those discussions as we go forward. The first sheet that I have on the set is really just code requirements. It's a survey of the site and then a general location map, code notes, and general notes. So there's... You can read them if you like. It might be good to put yourself to sleep at night. On the second sheet, that has more of the detail of the bathroom addition. Basically, it's about a 190-square-foot addition, roughly 15 feet by 12 foot 8. And it's actually two levels. We have enough room to get a basement in underneath it without too much effort. And that'll contain the well tank and potentially a future boiler down the road if we can get the funding for a boiler and hot water baseboard in the museum. In the main part, there's the handicapped lavatory, which was the main focus of this. But we've also been able to get a lockable storage room, and also a counter with the utility sink and a work area. And basically, you know, do a pretty nice job of getting the museum some workspace and storage space, additional storage space. As I said, down in the basement, there will be additional storage space, well pumped, well tanked, and in the future, oil tank potentially and the boiler. And then on that sheet to the right is the basic construction details of a section through the construction, calling out all of the materials. As far as the exterior finishes of the building, we're trying to match the appearance of the existing museum, which is a white stucco. So I'm calling for an IFA system, exterior insulation finish system, which is a synthetic stucco. And we'll be matching the striations that sort of like the block striations that are in the existing museum stucco. Also the same color, and then the trim will be painted to match the trim of the museum. And on the third sheet are the elevations of the exterior of the addition. Basically, as you're facing the museum, the addition is on the back and towards the left side. Basically right between the museum and the existing shed and outhouse. As you can see, we tried to match the style of the museum with the pitch on the roof, some detailing at the roof edges, and the windows are sized to match the size of the existing windows and the style of the existing windows. And we have back elevation and the right side and left side elevation. Unfortunately, the left side elevation, the window has to be a little bit shorter to accommodate the counter inside, so that's a little bit shorter window. And then down below that are the elevations, and these are not really complete yet, but I've got them roughed out, of the accessible bathroom and then also the workroom cabinets and that area. And that's pretty much it. If anyone has any questions or...
Well, I would like to just offer up for the committee. I think what I'm hoping for as liaison of the museum is that if tonight we get a motion to send Chris's specs to the lawyer to prepare the bid package, subject, you know, in the next week or two once he finishes up the details. So that's if, you know, if you have questions toward that, and that's, I think, where
is that a motion?
No, that's not a motion yet. That's just a position. If you have questions, that's what we're trying to decide tonight. And then I assume after the bid package is ready, that's when you'd have time to, you know, question other details that will be finalized then.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, in the counter area that's closest to the door,
yes.
with the expectation that we do want to get away from those propane heaters that are in the windows and eventually get a boiler in the basement,
right.
Can we design into this right now the pipe chase?
Yeah, right now, if you look at the plan, I have not put, actually there's, on the plan there's an existing place that could take the pipe chase. The wall where the toilet is on is furred out from the museum for piping.
Okay.
So we could chase it up in there. Or I did not extend that the work area. We could.
I mean, is that something we should do ahead of time? Like, should we then rough it in ahead and stub it up and down at this point? Or is there enough, would you feel we'll have room to get in there after the fact, you know, a year from now or whatever, to get the piping? That's the only thing, is I just want to make sure we don't, you know.
It might
make
sense.
Did this whole thing and then go, oh.
It probably would make sense to rough it in now because... There will be a small attic space in this space with an access panel,
okay,
and a storage room.
Because we're going to drop off at that floor, and then I'm guessing to the second floor we'd want to put heat too. No, am I asking the historians who are there more than I am? So we have that opportunity that we can stub out in both of these floors and jump out.
It would probably make sense to at least get the one going to the second floor roughed in, because the attic space is going to be really pretty constrained. And to crawl from the hatch over to the wall and actually do work would be onerous.
Okay.
So I can add that to the drawing.
Yeah, just something that, you know, that can point us there that doesn't get forgotten.
Absolutely.
Is that perfect? Wow.
You haven't talked to my wife.
And again, my only questions, because I am not a construction guru by any means, is just making sure those drawings are detailed enough that the construction company won't suddenly start making changes that are going to cha-ching everything.
I'm going to try and detail. I mean, it's pretty well detailed so far. I'm going to have all of the light fixtures called out, other than we're discussing maybe some that are provided by the museum and then just put in by the contractor. But I'm going to spec out model numbers, and I did find some interesting fixtures that I'll review with you guys. So I think they'll be, I think maybe you'll like them.
Any problems with the historic nature of the building and footings and anything that we're,
we
run into?
We actually did perform a test dig to see what the foundations were like, and it was good news. We could get down about 3 feet, which is what I really wanted. The foundation was pretty much all stone, but it was fairly solid and not an issue. So what I've done on the drawings, if you look at the elevations, I've taken the footings down right at the building to that 3 foot level. And then in the basement, there's actually going to be a 4 foot shelf that'll be higher so that we don't undermine the footings of the museum.
Do you happen to know what the headspace above that 4 foot shelf is?
Let me get my scale.
And I guess while he's doing that, for you, what do you need for us to give you a bid package, or to prepare a bid package?
What I need is, I think, what Chris is working on, which is the drawings and the specs. So in other words, what we do is we put in the legal side, and Chris puts in all the technical stuff. We don't obviously know the technical stuff.
Basically it's going to be spec on drawing.
Right.
There's not going to be a separate spec book.
Right. Okay. However, whatever it is that would be reasonable for a contractor, and we're fortunate to have some expertise here, but maybe you can take a look and see if it's reasonable.
And we've talked about potentially having some add-delete clauses.
You can have that if you want.
Yeah. Would that need one, alternate two, or however you want to word it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that would be, Chris would give us the language for those, and we'll provide a provision in the agreement with respect to the bids for alternate one, two, or however many you have.
Now, would you like me to put together a scope document?
That'd be good.
Okay, I could do that.
That'd be great, yep.
And I know you're an architect, so it's the... The mechanical side, the plumbing, is there enough going to be here for us to get a good number on the plumbing side?
Oh, sure, yeah.
As far as the tie-ins point and everything to existing?
Yeah, I have to do a riser diagram still,
okay,
which will show all the piping sizes. It'll be PVC piping. I figure we should probably save some money and go with PEX tubing or equal for hot and cold water.
Right.
For hot water, we've talked about it. We were proposing just having Insta-Hots since... This will not get a huge amount of use. Doesn't make sense to constantly heat water in the building.
Right.
So Insta-Hots right at the fixtures, mounted underneath the fixtures for the hot water.
So we're only piping out one item.
Yeah. Yeah, and then for heat, there will be electric baseboard. And I just ran through with my mechanical guy. I told him, I'm donating my services, so now you're donating yours. And he just checked the ventilation for me, and we're good with the windows. So.
Okay.
Are we good without a crawl space to the attic?
I'm showing a hatch to the
attic. Oh, you are showing?
Okay. Yeah.
He's showing that.
Yeah, we do need that. So, and it makes sense if you ever have to do anything up there. It's not going to be roomy, but...
So with your former riser diagram, that will be on, I think, sheet 4?
Yes.
Which the cross sections will be on with the cut in, the saw cut and the copper flashing let in?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. I haven't forgotten. Yeah.
Thank you.
And, Chris, what would the alternatives be that you're talking about?
I think the roof was one of the alternatives we were talking about at the time.
Two different kinds.
Well, there was... Go
material.
Ahead.
The material on the roof.
Type of roof.
Yeah, material was slate, real slate versus an asphalt simulated slate. Is that what we talked about?
I thought we got away from the real slate just because of cost.
Two different kinds of face slate.
Oh.
I thought it was even things as like... The cabinetry.
Yeah, whether
in case at the same time we could find someone who might donate some versus having it in the contract. And that's completely possible in bid
Yeah, we could. I think you can separate out the
basically add alternates.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, add in if you're going to include the cabinetry. You know, your price for however you're going to design. You know, lay out the specs for the cabinet. You know,
yeah.
Either in or out. But we can handle that.
Since we have the historians here, I don't know if you want to get any other examples of in or out, or maybe they're having a meeting.
They're having a private meeting. Yeah. Was there items, Victor, was there any other items that were, you were?
Who's this asking? You changed where the door is, right?
Yes.
On the side, so you're saying a retaining wall.
Yeah.
There was a difference between putting cement or treated wood.
Yeah, what I've shown just temporarily on the drawings would be a timber tie retaining wall, and it's required just because if you don't have it, the slope from the existing museum would be too extreme, and you wouldn't be able to maintain it. It would erode. Timber tie would be your most economical approach. You could go with the modular concrete block system, which is quite a bit more money.
Now, by doing that also now, you're changing the slope going down to the other buildings. Is that going to affect the other buildings at all?
We should be able to grade and maintain drainage around them. That was one of the reasons for moving the door. The door previously was coming out the back of the museum, and it's kind of a tight fit with the existing shed. There was only about 4 feet there, if I recall. So moving the door to the side gives better access, and it allows for some grade adjustment between the addition and the shed.
I know one time was mentioned maybe the shed was going to move.
Just a few feet, I think.
A few feet is going to be quite a few dollars.
Well, I think we have to look into that. I'm not sure that's part of this contract. It has to be considered. But
Victor, the nice thing is with the door on the side, we don't really have to. We can have the grade, pretty much the existing grade, remain on the back wall, even if it's up the wall a little bit. It is a basement, so that's fine. So we can maintain existing grade and not affect the shed or the outhouse at all.
That means you're going to step down into the basement?
No. On the side, it'll be graded flush.
Oh, okay.
Well, not flush. I've put a 4-inch step from the... There'll be a concrete pad, 4-inch step in. You don't want it flush for water issues.
Did I hear somebody say a while ago that the existing outhouse has to be leveled? It's got to be filled in?
It has to be filled.
Filled.
I think that we have to go through the Board of Health to change that.
Yeah, I have nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody said it, and I couldn't remember who and where.
So that's the Board of Health, I guess. Brian, would you know if that's an exemption they ever get?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Did we just find that people that ride their bicycles walk and they use the outhouse?
I would imagine when they're doing the septic, you know, when they're coming to do their inspections, they couldn't inspect it at that time that they filled it.
So we have to go through the Board of Health to be exempt from filling the outhouse.
Would we like to maintain?
The outhouse would like to keep it open.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that's possible. You'll have to go through that.
It's a community service. Mm. You have a lot of bikers, a lot of walkers up and down that use the outhouse for convenience. It's almost like the outhouse that's up on Mount Lebanon Road. It's convenience. And that's been fairly heavy. If not, please go check it out. You'll see. But this is also would be convenient.
Well, as the chairperson of the Board of Health, I could call down there to the county, and since I ran my first meeting today.
Thanks for Debbie.
Yeah,
Debbie. I'm going to call Debbie. I'm going to just see if what we're dealing with. I'll do that. I'll take that as an action item.
Port-a-John.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we have?
I don't think it's legal.
For this?
One other question. Just did you mention electric baseboard? Was that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the heating that you were going to, that's the piping?
Right now we don't, there's a window unit that's heat. that's propane.
Oh,
so we're,
yeah.
This is a process.
So you're thinking electric, though, for the
right now?
Because you know how expensive that is. Yeah. That's what I'm...
Yeah. Well, it's your least expensive up front installing it, but it is your most expensive to run.
Right.
But
so, but the thought is that in the future, a boiler will go in and hot water baseboard.
Okay, so there would be the temporary type of a measure. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yep.
So with that, I'll make a motion that we authorize the historians upon final completion in the next week or two to send this to the lawyer for bid spec preparation, subject to final sign-off by the committee then.
Right. With the couple questions and revisions.
Yep, they'll be back for final approval. But
okay.
Unless you'd like to get the final.
Cushing, as part of your legal documentation, you have general conditions, I presume?
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
Well, we could incorporate an AIA type of contract form in there if you'd like.
Okay. I can access those.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Wonderful. Thank you, Chris.
Thank
I appreciate
you
your time, and I appreciate you volunteering and taking this on.
No problem.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay. Next item is the notice of public hearing for Green Acres application. Mike, I'm going to let you take that part.
Okay, this is just more of a public notice. I believe in today's newspaper this notice was published that on February 1st we will be, as part of our regular meeting, we'll be convening a public hearing for a Green Acres application that will be read into discussion at that time.
Can I? This really, we don't have to do a motion on this. This is just noticing. Yep, okay. Okay.
And that one's quick. I guess the notice is posted on our board as well.
Yes.
If anyone would like the details.
Okay.
And on the web page also.
And on the web.
The next one is to Mike got proposals for the 97 Red Mill Road property for, this is for the title search. So I got the right one in front of me. Yes, title search. So we just need to go through that and approve one of them.
And the this is for the 97 Red Mill Road property. The first step we need to kick off the survey is to have a title search performed for the surveyor to know what might be on, you know, what right-of-ways or other things they might need to put on the survey. So I've contacted actually four different title companies, and I've asked for right now, we're just looking to authorize the title search, not the full title insurance policy. And Title Lines is one company. They would charge $300 for the title search, and they would give us $200 credit to the eventual full title policy. And their price for a full title policy is $807, and the next closest is $1,164. Title Lines also comes highly recommended by people in the field. So I'm looking for a motion to, the motion would be to authorize retaining Title Lines for a $300 title search.
That would be an executive.
Mm-hmm. And I just made that motion, unless anyone has discussion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Should I carry into the second?
Sure, since it's all you two again.
The second is for the same property, 97 Red Mill Road. And this is to authorize or to hire a surveyor for that property. Again, I solicited multiple quotes. I have two written quotes, two verbal quotes. Well, actually three written quotes, two verbal and a verbal quote. The lowest cost provider, who's someone who's authorized on the Green Acres approved list, is Born and Born in Flemington for a cost of $3,960. I should mention that the New Jersey Water Supply Authority has also offered that they will reimburse half of these expenses, both for the title and for the survey work. And it's still possible that we get Green Acres funding to cover the other half of it, but that's still in process. So I would make them, unless there's other discussion.
I just have one question on that. I noticed, I looked at that Chuck Saladin verbal, and he said it looks like a difficult, possibly expensive survey, and then somebody else mentioned underground utilities. I just wanted to make sure that that's...
The underground utilities would be cited by the title search.
Okay.
The difficult nature of it was told to all of them, and these are the prices for that difficult survey.
Good.
Part of what makes it difficult is that it was last surveyed in 1927.
Wow.
And there's some overlap with the neighboring, on our tax map, there's a 2-acre overlap with the neighboring property, probably because the stream has moved, but there are various other complicating factors. So that's part of the reason it's a little more expensive than a 9.6-acre square piece of property.
Yeah.
So I would make a motion that we retain Bourne and Bourne at a price of $3,960 for the survey of 97 Red Mill Road.
I'll second that. The roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay, the other item, the next item on here is social media. Last year, we started talking about this, and we just got so many other things. It just didn't go anywhere. So I reached out to Adam Duckworth, who's the chairman of the USC, who probably of all the groups, they tend to use the social media the most. And he was willing to step forward and take it on, work with it, come up with what seemed like a reasonable path for our volunteer groups, and then, come back to the committee with his suggestions. Basically, he's also asked about how his interaction would be with Tara. I told him it would be through me to her so we could manage what's getting asked in the process. So really all I'm looking for here is just a motion to approve him to move forward with developing this social media policy for us, and then come back to us with what he sees as the suggestions.
If I could just, as discussion, I looked up the notes and the memos that we had previously, and my personal recollection and view, and the guidance that I would like to give him in doing that would be that we're not looking to create a forum for public comments, public discussions, a social media forum that would require a full-time administrator to make sure that offensive comments aren't being put up by the public. Rather, what we're looking for is a forum to more conveniently push information to interested parties through social media.
Right.
Something that would include the various committees and commissions in the township, police, fire, other departments could use it in a convenient way, but not a forum for discussion.
Yes. Yeah, and unfortunately, Monday he informed me he couldn't be here. He was planning on being here, and then he had something with work that he knew then wouldn't make him. But I didn't want to remove it from the agenda at this point. Just basically just to have, because he could move forward, start thinking about it. He was then going to, if he was definitively approved, reach out to the committee to find out exactly that, what your opinions are, what your thoughts are, and also some of the other chair people of our volunteer groups to see how they would like to utilize it and seek and come up with a plan along with the information that we had given him previously based on Tara's write-ups on social media policy, so that maybe we could close that out. You look, Tom.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
He will give us updates as we go along to the committee.
Okay. Yes. He actually came back and said he would like to have it done in like 2.5-3 weeks, and I had a laugh.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, okay, you dream big there, Adam. So, but yes, he said he would keep us up to date.
It doesn't work.
It's a start. Yes. So all I'm looking for is just a motion to say that approves him to go forward and do that. And then he'll work through me, and if he needs to reach out to Tara. So
subject to the guidance I gave, I would enthusiastically make a motion that we move forward on a social media policy driven by Adam through Mark.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. The next item, this may stay here. We may take it to executive. Depends on where the conversation goes. Last year, about this time, Winding Brook Lane, the Winding Brook Road Association, came to us asking us to take on their road. I'm bringing this back up just because it kind of we kind of said we'd get back to them. We did some work with Steve Reese looking at it. I did all of you get the email I sent with the picture?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the items that he had seen as the big key items that would never be able to be solved, you know, to meet code. Really, I think it kind of puts us on a court of going back to them if they can, as far as Winding Brook Association, to go, we've looked into it. Our engineer does not see a path to getting this to a code conformance, way to do this work. If they can come up with some other, if they have an engineer that can come up with some plan that we may be interested in looking at, and then seeing if there is a benefit for the community to take on the road, I'm trying to make sure we either close it out or move things forward. I looked at things that we have out there hanging, and I don't want Lori coming up here telling me that we're not doing anything.
Yeah.
I have a different take on it. Taking over the road, I think, financially, and with the way it is now, you couldn't change things enough to even be able to construct it without encroaching on existing finished properties. I mean, you just can't.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way Steve came out with that. It's pretty
but
impossible.
I don't think it's beyond us crafting an agreement based on the fact that it is a through road with over 20 homes on it. I don't remember the exact number. And why could not we craft something in a way where we would just do the plowing and salting for them, and they would have to keep their association and maintain the integrity of the road as far as sealing or ditch cleaning out or that kind of stuff.
I think that becomes a sticky.
Well, it may, but I think it's...
I understand where you're coming from, and I think it becomes a scenario where they say our truck wrecked this section of the road, so we're responsible. Fix it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it. You know,
that's
then we're kind
that's
of
anywhere we go.
Yeah, I know, but I understand what you're saying, but I'm concerned that would just open us up to, you know, repairing it. I think it's. I'm more inclined that it's an all or nothing kind of thing.
And I'm concerned with that as well. That as we learned in May when this first came up, that we have 11 or 12 other through private roads and 74. Private roads in total.
Well, yeah, there's ways I think to craft it. Maybe Dick could back me on this, because this particular road does have X amount of homes where none of these other roads come near qualifying to that. It's an unusual circumstance because it does get used in emergencies often, because I live right there, so I know how many times traffic's going through. I mean, is it possible? We already plowed it, the road on... the old Route 31 there, that's a through road. We do that already. I don't know, Dick, what do you say?
We're obligated to treat similarly situated roads in a similar way. However, we don't have to treat every road the same way if there's a rational difference between one road and another road. For instance, the criteria could be if it's a road that's used under certain circumstances that provides access to emergency vehicles, it's a connecting road. There would be ways to craft you need an ordinance.
Right.
But you could craft an ordinance that would be legally, I think, sustainable as a difference. Whether politically, people who live on different roads would see the distinctions as clearly as you might see it, I think that is a little bit more awkward. In other words, somebody who lives on a different road could say, well, our road is really the same because of X, Y, and Z. So you'd have to craft it in a way that was clearly unique to this particular road for the public benefits that are provided by that road. It's possible to do it.
Well, just simply with the number of homes on it, I think, is the main criteria. For
could be a criteria, yeah. Could be. I think the use by emergency vehicles, the fact that it's a connecting road as compared to, say, a dead end or a cul-de-sac, would probably be a very important distinguishing factor, too, you know, because maybe the number of houses, somebody could say, well, it's the number of houses per mile, and guess what? This particular road that we're trying to advocate for has the same number of houses per mile as that road, so therefore it should be treated the same. But, I mean, I think there are ways you could do it, and it sounds like this road has characteristics that would separate it from other roads, possibly.
Yeah, I just know it could be a difficult road, you know, for our road department to deal with. That's my concern, is I don't want to put a burden on them that's, you know, undue without making sure it's also somewhat, you know, code compliant to make it, you know, I don't know.
Well, that bridge was a problem, right?
Yeah, well, the county said it would have to be replaced. When they were here doing the bridge on 513, I asked them about it.
Right, but I'm not talking about taking the road over, just assisting.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, and my concern is just, you know, where does it, you know, just making sure it's there's an end point, and then it's, you know, burden that we put on.
Well, the end point is whatever we put in the ordinance, that was what we follow.
Yeah.
But the thing is about the bridge, was there
that's
something
the
with the... Yeah, but what about the salting, sanding equipment? Did it have a problem? That's what I was thinking from that perspective.
Well, it's not really a bridge, it's a culvert, but it's just a pipe in the ground. It's not a major.
So it wouldn't stop salting or sanding equipment?
Right. Turn around, go either way, go back uphill. I don't think they would be replacing it in the middle of the winter. I doubt it, so... I know, I used to play in the Pikers. It's about this time.
You know, so I'm looking at either a path to move forward or a path to close this.
I think the going back from May, if we're considering this old business, the proposal we have in front of us is to take over the road.
Right.
And unless there's other discussion, I'm hearing that it's too far out of compliance for us to consider taking over the road. So I would make a motion that we tell them we're not taking over the road,
yeah.
Which doesn't eliminate other discussion, but it, at least it's a clear answer for now. And if
right.
they have a different proposal, we consider that
or a different
separately.
Option.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm making that motion.
And the road itself, regardless of what can be done, will never be a Class 2 road. In our ordinance,
correct.
I feel we have to let them know.
Yeah, and that's my point. Is I just want either one way or the other, you know. So you made a motion. Do I have a second?
I have a second.
A roll call?
Yes.
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 Thank you. Okay. Then we have. This comes back around. We at the end of last year, Verizon Wireless came out to us, and then Dick, you had found this stuff. I guess it's come up a few other places.
Yeah, it's come up statewide, interestingly enough, because Verizon is doing this as part of a process to either supplement or replace, or at least certainly supplement the monopole type of communication. And once I got the information from the league and had a conversation with Ed Purcell, who's the general counsel for the league, who's gotten heavily involved in this, and he actually wrote two articles in the League of Municipalities magazine about this whole issue, I thought that there may be more to this that you would want to consider than had been presented. Now, the young woman who was here was not actually with Verizon, so she might not have known all the details. But what I've learned and the information that we've gotten to date is that what this system is a line-of-sight system, so that these particular boxes go on a pole and they have to have a line of sight to the next pole because they transport pole to pole. The information is transported pole to pole to pole. We also learned that oftentimes the utilities don't want these boxes on their utility poles for various reasons. So there may be a number of instances where new poles have to be installed. There is an issue outstanding, and I don't know if Verizon has come up with an answer for this yet, but in neighborhoods that have underground utilities, they don't really have a place to hang these boxes on. So there's also the issue of, and I thought this is something the league is very concerned about. Verizon probably will not be the only provider asking to use telephone poles within the system, because other providers, AT&T, T-Mobile, and there are actually some private entities that actually install these things, may also want to use the poles. And the rule is the township has the right to regulate uses within the right-of-way, but they have to treat people, they have to treat applicants in the same way, so that if you agree to give a blanket to Verizon, you're going to have to give a blanket to T-Mobile, you're going to have to give a blanket to AT&T or whoever may come along. There's also the issue of co-location. It would seem to me that just like on the monopoles, we really want to encourage co-location, because you don't want any more of these boxes, it would seem to me, than already exist out there. It would seem to me that the township policy would be to want to encourage co-location so that we minimize the amount of infrastructure that has to be added in there. So there are different ways that this can be handled. Many towns have said, well, you know, look, we recognize there's a legal obligation that we're going to have to allow this. And quite frankly, there's probably benefits to allowing it, because it supplements the system. And I think everybody benefits from better wireless and better data transmission and so forth. So that's something. We can't block them. We can't say, no, you can't use this. So a lot of towns are saying, okay, well, maybe we need to look at this a little bit more closely. And in that package materials, there was a resolution that Bedminster used, which was to say, okay, you know, we recognize that you want to come in, but we want to have some control over where the locations are, how many locations there are. Are there going to be issues as far as, you know, maintenance? If there's a problem on the pole, who's going to take care of it during a, you know, an outage or a tree strikes it, or and that causes problems? And then, you know, if we have to have more poles installed, I think it's important that there be a public discussion so that the public is aware that this is occurring and that the township has examined this issue and done what it can do within the parameters of law to be able to minimize the impact on the public. I know my own personally, you know, in my little yard there in Lambertville, I don't think I'd want another pole out front. You know, now if you got many, many acres, maybe don't care, but it seems to me that there could be some issues in that regard. So I have to say that once I read the article, I said, you know, maybe the township didn't get all the information that was out there. And I know the township was good about asking the person to come back and tell us about the boxes and so forth. But in retrospect, after I learned all this other information and discussed it with Ed Purcell, and I thought, you know, I'm not sure the individual had a full grasp of what was actually going on here and was in a position to be able to fully educate you as to what may be some complications. So I guess my thought was, gee, I think I ought to bring this back to you just to see whether maybe you didn't get all of the information you wanted, and maybe you would expect to get some more information and maybe have a slightly different approach. One of the questions that we haven't looked at, but I think it's worthwhile looking, is how do your ordinances treat the right-of-way? Now, you have a right to regulate in the right-of-way. It's your property. You have utilities, which are entities that are regulated by the BPU, Board of Public Utilities, have certain rights in the right-of-way by virtue of the status that they hold as a utility. Verizon is not a utility. It's not regulated by the BPU. It's regulated by the FCC on a federal level. So they don't have the same rights. However, they are going to be locating them on telephone poles owned by utilities, which are in the right-of-way. So there's a little bit of a complication there. And my sense is maybe we ought to just sit back a little bit and wait and see how all of this evolves and see, you know, what the township feels is the right way to look at this. You could also have an ordinance regulating things in the in the right-of-way, and that might be an option to consider. But right now, maybe that, in retrospect, that resolution was a little hasty, giving them a blanket approval. So that was my concern.
I have a question. You're calling the resolution a blanket approval.
That, yeah.
And my question is, the discussion around that resolution had a number of specifics. For example, they represented, and I think it would be on the tape in the minutes,
yep,
that they would put no more than, that they're looking to put 20 units in our township.
No, in the region.
In the region, sorry. So the question is, given that that was their testimony, if they come with the 21st unit, can we then say, no, your resolution doesn't cover that? And other examples in the materials they gave us, your point, I think it's a very good point about, can they start putting poles up where there are no poles already? In their documentation, they said, where there are no existing wooden poles, and this is written generically, so it's such as in downtown areas, and like, Verizon Wireless will not place new wooden poles, but would instead seek to put stealth fixtures. They're talking about putting them on streetlights, which mm-hmm. we don't have. So my question is, does the information they gave us and the testimony control us the way we thought it did when we passed the resolution, or did we actually give them a big wide open door?
Well, just before I answer that, there are what you read to me deals with areas where there are no telephone poles.
Right.
But don't forget, you may have areas where there are telephone poles, but they may need more.
Yeah.
So you may have a telephone pole and then another telephone pole.
Yeah.
The answer is, I would not feel comfortable leaving the current resolution the way it is. I think that if Verizon goes ahead and you have disputes with them, they got much deeper pockets than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you're at a terrible disadvantage if they decide to say, well, that binds you, and those were just guidelines. So the real question I had was, well, wait, we passed a resolution. Can we now reverse ourselves?
Yeah.
The answer is, I think you can, because I think it's, first of all, I don't think they've changed any position. Normally, in order to have what legally is called a stopple or waiver or something like that, you have to have a change in position and somebody relying on the change in position to their detriment. I don't think Verizon has done anything in the meantime that would allow them to argue that. Secondly, I think maybe the information they provided you was not complete. For instance, I know that Ed Purcell had discussions with Verizon people about the issue of whether Verizon was going to tell municipalities that what you do for Verizon, you also need to do for AT&T, and Verizon took the position to the League of Municipalities, no, we don't have to tell them that. That's for them to figure out. So I think the answer is that the information that was provided, I'm sure, was accurate within the scope of what it was, but it wasn't as broad as what maybe you might consider needing. And I guess the answer to your question is, Mike, I wouldn't rely on that resolution and their representation. I mean, that wasn't even a representative. I mean, it was their agent.
Well, I mean, yeah, what I just read you is on Verizon letter.
I understand.
And I do understand.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an authorized agent.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, and I think that's right. And it does say that. They did say our Tillerson or whatever the name of that thing is. But I would think a better way to do it is revoke the resolution and then say, okay, look, we know we have an obligation here. Let's partner. And let's work together to come up with the total number of the instances. And what I find, and maybe it's correct, I mean, I'm not suggesting that they were inaccurate, but I'm not sure how in Lebanon Township you could have just 20 poles if it's line of sight.
They're not line of sight. They came last week to our company, actually, because they want to put one on our...
Yeah.
They talked to my boss, because we have a telephone pole that's ours.
Right.
And they're not line. They want to tie into our fiber optic to get their communication. They're not line
right.
of sight. That's
well, they
the
tie
archaic
in, look,
system.
Okay. And look, I will admit right off the bat, technically, I have no knowledge. I thought they connected with the... but what I'm told by the league, and again, maybe the league, again, you're talking lawyer to lawyer, not engineer to engineer, so recognize. But he argued that they're connected by a cable,
yeah,
and that but from unit to unit, it's line of sight. Now, I don't know if that's correct.
There are different technologies that are being talked about going in. I think the league is talking about their Wi-Fi mesh networks and things.
There's light. Light radio,
yeah,
which is a totally different product.
Okay,
and the pictures they showed us are clearly not line of sight.
Okay,
yeah.
So,
Are you saying we should stay with the resolution?
No, no, I'm not saying that. I'm thinking.
Look to revoke.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking then we have to then
There's
put more of a
concern and enough questions.
Well, I think maybe we want to reinvite Verizon and maybe have somebody
that
who has
number,
a little bit more technical knowledge, because the person who was out here really didn't have, at least in my opinion. She was very nice and very tried to be very helpful and, you know, was good at following up. But I'm not sure she really could address some of the technical issues.
Is this something
which we're talking
towards
about
the planning board also, or no?
Well, I think what you need to do first is decide kind of the overall approach that the township wants to have. And if it's directed to the planning board, then that should be done. But I think the township committee should first come to a policy as to, do you want it to go to the planning board? Do you want it to go? Do you need an ordinance of some type? And my sense is, I think towns need more factual information.
I agree.
Can we get it in writing that's only going to be 20?
Because that's the problem is you're talking Verizon and you're talking AT&T, which are totally two different technologies.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm learning as we
They're two different technologies. You know, and because the guy who came was a Verizon, because our office is Verizon.
Right.
And they put it on the very top of the pole. It's the only location. There is no co-locator. It takes the top of the telephone pole.
Well, some of the pictures that we've seen show antenna on the top of the telephone pole as well as a box.
There's a box, but then the antenna's at the very top.
Right.
But what is you can't put two antennas
so
on the
how does it connect? Where is it connecting to?
Well, the antenna is connecting to the phones.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Every cell phone goes over a hard wire.
Right.
It doesn't go
ultimately
that tower out there goes to the street,
the hardwire, right,
and then goes back to the it's utilizing the internet service or depending on what's available, telephone services to get you back to connect.
Right.
So that's the same thing these are. They're connecting to either a telephone or an internet, some kind of, you know, other provider.
Well, I think it's kind of there should be clarification as to the mechanics and the, you know, what's going on. That would be my recommendation. I'm not sure anybody really, you know, has a complete understanding of what this is all about.
So,
and I thought what you said, that was my initial reaction on based on what they said, that it somehow connected, picked up your phone from the car, and then transmitted it to the monopole.
Yeah, well, every pole can only carry so many cell phones at a time.
Right.
So when they get an overdense pole,
concentration,
you know, then they need to bring up, because they each provider has only so many megahertz bandwidth to work with, which only gives them these little increments. And your phone has to be connected to multiple towers at the same time, so it releases from the one tower and picks up on the other one, and you never even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, that's what a drop call is,
when
it doesn't have another tower to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I just raised it.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, I think we need to then look at it as more of a broader... scope as far as how we approach these things and how many we allow in the town.
A follow-up question. They, in their material, they also said under the Federal Telecommunications Act, as you indicated, the municipality may not withhold approval.
Correct, but you can regulate.
But what's a reasonable time for us to study this and grant them approval of something?
Well, I think there's provision of, I'm trying to think now, it was 60 or 90 days from the date of an application. I don't think you have this is not an application. This was a waiver request.
Right.
So the way I interpreted it anyway was that was not, the clock hasn't started running based on that. So my suggestion would be to reinvite Verizon to come in and maybe answer some of the questions that the league has and maybe you have based on this, and maybe to try to get a little bit more of the technical information just to understand. And if it's limited to 20, over the whole township, that's nothing.
Well, they said for the whole region, multiple townships.
Yeah, they said 8, I believe, on County Route 513.
Right, because they were going to the county after us to get the approval from the county.
Well, that's another thing, which is I've suggested to my towns that they reach out to the county to make sure the county is coordinating an approach. Because you've got so many county roads going through the town, it impacts you. It's probably going to not impact the township as much. And so it seems to me that there ought to be a coordinated response so that your approach is not different from the county approach. Now, if you're going to send them to the planning board, they may still have to go to the planning board even though it's on a county road. But it just seems to me that there ought to be some coordination there. And I know in Warren County, because we have the same issue going on in a bunch of towns up in Warren County, they've reached out to the county engineer up there, and the county engineer has said, we're just slowing down on this to kind of get a better understanding of what all this means and how all this is going to work, which I think is...
I mean, is it reasonable to say we revoke the resolution, we're obviously going to have to send a notification correct. That we did that, and then say we'd like to invite them. Well, do we invite them here, or do we invite them to the planning board? Because I think the planning board expertise on the municipal land use law and having Michael Boland there, I think, would be more advantageous at this point, knowing this than us.
Yep.
And then have them make their recommendations, then back up to us.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
I mean, does that make...
Makes sense. I think we revoke it first.
Yes, but I would just... Then what the... in the notification to them why we revoked it, I'd like to say the process of what we want them to do to get it reinstated, so to speak.
Well, did to work out a plan of operation so that, you're cooperating, recognizing that at the end of the day, this is going to happen, and it's going to be implemented in a way that causes the least impact on the residents.
Right.
That's what you would want.
In the rare event that there is any blowback on this from either the agent or Verizon, say like they have started to lay out truck rolls or order equipment, how do you think that would play out? I'd still want to revoke, but just in the rare event.
I don't think you're going to have a problem there. It would not be my idea to get a massive battle with Verizon. Their pockets are so much deeper than yours that, I don't think that would be a wise idea. But I don't think it's going to happen that way. I think there'll be dialogue.
So we'll take it as it
comes. Yeah, address it and see what they do.
Do you have what that resolution number was, Karen?
81-2016.
May I make a suggestion that maybe the thing to do is to... I would like to have a few whereases in there. Maybe we can... What I would like to have is just... And maybe we can get a rough form of a resolution that's acceptable to you, and maybe I can put some language together maybe tomorrow morning to just kind of... I just want to explain the factual basis for the actual action, just to sort of address a little bit the question that you asked, and to explain that the township learned more information about it, realized that it didn't have all the facts. This is an important public policy, wants to know how it's going to affect, what the impact of co-location will be, what the impact on other providers would be, have received information from the League of Municipalities that raises questions that were not addressed, and therefore... has decided to revoke the resolution, but will then, reach out either through the planning board or however you want to have it done to Verizon to develop a plan that's,
I would like them to reach out to our planning.
Okay.
I don't want to say we'll reach out. Well, let's put it on them to reach out to our planning board to arrange a time for them to come in and meet with the planning board to discuss this.
I think
process.
That makes sense. Yep.
And I don't think in the case of detrimental reliance to the agent would matter, because I don't think Verizon would hire an agent that would have 80% of their business with Verizon should they decide to sever their ties with somebody like that over this. I don't think it would apply.
I agree.
So, any other questions? Okay, so then I would be looking for a motion to revoke Resolution 81-2016 regarding Verizon Wireless, adding wireless cell service to poles, nodes, and to draft then allowing Dick to draft the formal resolution our position.
How about I do this? In order to get this on the books as quickly as possible, why don't I draft something else? I'll send it out. Do not reply all. just reply to me with any comments, suggestions, or changes. I'll make those changes, and then hopefully we can just use that as the form of the resolution once everybody signs off on it individually rather than as a group.
So we'll approve it here, and
you
then
can do it at the next meeting if you want.
No, but I'm just saying we'll approve essentially that we're revoking this, and then to the once we all reply back to you that it's, we approve the resolution.
And you're approving it pretty much consistently with the reasons I expressed on the record here. Is that reasonable?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Are we passing the resolution tonight?
That's what we're doing.
Yes. Yes, because I think the timing, we don't want to wait. Yeah. You know, who knows where this process is.
And then at the next meeting, you can ratify it.
Okay.
So you're covered, you know, one way or another, procedurally, anybody raised any issue.
So do we number that right now, resolution
22-2017?
Yeah, so it'd be resolution 22-2017 to revoke resolution 81-2016. Correct.
For the reasons generally outlined by the municipal attorney and to be formalized in a resolution prepared by the municipal attorney and then ratified at the following meeting.
That is the motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
I'm going to abstain.
Yes.
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 Okay. Thank you, Dick. Okay. The Micklin Woods Wood Glen Trail Project. This is the small section of property EOSC is looking with the committee to purchase so that this trail can have a conductivity between Micklin Woods and Wood Glen Road. Mike has been working on this. You can fill in the rest of the committee on what you got there.
Again, as open space coordinator, this has been talked about for several years, seeing if the person who owns the property that would allow this connection would be interested in selling part of her property, and she's finally over the last couple of months said that she would be interested. In fact, she's very nice, very outgoing about it, that she would like to see connectivity be available, and depending on what our needs would be, she doesn't want to sell more than we need, but she would consider that. So the first step is to get an appraisal of what approximately 2 acres would be valued at. Again, the New Jersey Water Supply Authority, which co-owns the township property that comes off of Wood Glen Road, would agree to pay half of the cost, but we solicited proposals for appraisals of that property. Not at this time. The full narrative Green Acres compliant requirements would be more expensive, since at this point we're not looking for Green Acres funding. But the low bid happens to be from an appraiser, Norm Greenberg Associates, which is Green Acres compliant. So if we need to go that direction, we could expand. We're not losing the money that we'd be spending now. We would expand it into a Green Acres appraisal, and the price that he's proposed is $750 for that appraisal. There was another appraisal at $750 from a non-Green Acres approved appraiser, and then another Green Acres approved appraiser at $1,200. So that's why I would propose I'd make a motion that we retain Norm Goldberg to appraise approximately 2 acres in order for us to then see if there's a price at which we agree with the seller. Does anybody want more information on what this is about?
Excuse me?
Does anyone need more information about what...
Nope.
Did you go here?
Yes.
I did make a motion.
I'll second the motion.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. The next item is our internet technology discuss a subcommittee. This is I added to our list of liaison positions this technology aspect, and I put Bev as that. A main reason is there's a couple items that I'd like to see us work towards. One, the initial reason for this was the looking to get away from the tree killing that we seem to do with all this paperwork. So we seem to go through quite a few reams of paper. to try to go towards something, some means of an electronic format to get the. Yeah, I know. I'm scaring you over there, Tom.
I'll help you.
Okay. Go ahead.
To be able to review these items, even not necessarily have our packets that we end up collecting every Friday. So there's, you know, this ream of paper we collect on Friday plus another ream that sits at the DS here, and work towards some method to minimize this paperwork and make it an easier path.
So would you see us up here with our laptops?
Maybe like an iPad?
iPad.
An iPad or a Chrome. You'd have to have
okay, what's an iPad?
Trying to get a visual. It's going to look up here.
You know, so you'd have your... The agenda would still be paper.
Oh.
So I'll let you have that paper.
Okay. Thank you.
Who's going to provide the iPad?
We'll have to look at the process.
Yes.
You know.
Actually, they had that at the school board meeting last night. You know, they have the beautiful little Chromebooks, and they have they don't email the papers. They have a server because there's so much information.
Right.
You're more technical than I am, but it comes up. Yeah. And nobody seemed to have a problem with it, and they have an expert that helps them.
Yeah, and that's where, we have now this shared service agreement with Woodglen and Valley View and their IT person there,
yeah,
and that's somebody
great.
That we can...
So you have an expert at the meeting?
No.
Well, that works
behind
behind the scenes.
Oz.
I was going to say, yeah.
No, but it set it up and made it easy for them. You know, essentially, it would then allow, you know, Karen to essentially put into each one of our a folder for our, each of us online of what all these stacks of paper would be for us to review, go over, and then have when we come to the meeting anything that would be changed, you could change right there. And I don't expect this to happen overnight. This is, you know, this is a process.
And,
you know, next week or next, you know, you're showing up and there's an iPad sitting there. No, this is, you know, what, you know, because it's, you know, that reason for Bev is also, you know, she's retired, so she has plenty of time. is to understand and reach out to the gentleman at Woodglen to kind of see how they did it, what their path is. Mm-hmm. Since it's been done, it's a proven path. And something that he can support us with. That was the initial thought of this, and then about, I don't know, probably a month ago.
Will they be township-issued iPads?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And managed. You know, it could be Chromebooks, it could be whatever, but, I mean, it's something of that nature.
Like Chromebooks. The school uses Chromebooks.
Tom, don't worry, the Russians will have nothing to do with this. Okay?
Could the iPad read it to us?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, there is that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, Mayor, down in Kingwood, they actually do that already, and they actually have a large screen so that everything the governing body sees is right up on the screen. So
that
the public can see all of that, and
that's
the
next step of this process.
Don't need us.
You know, the only thing about that is I know how long it takes me to read through this package of information, and if everybody's going
to
have it in a meeting at the same time, and then has a million questions, we'll be out of here at 2:00 in the morning.
No.
Okay.
That's
a pessimist.
Good practice. Like that, yeah.
But we have the screen. I know the EOSC had purchased a projector that they use every meeting at theirs to do exactly that. They put up on the screen their agenda and their minutes, and they basically Adam kind of fills them in live as they go through the process. So that would be one of the items to look at is getting something to stand up there to actually hold that projector so it doesn't have to get moved around all as much. Then it could be utilized for multiple groups here. And then also that could be to that end that it could be having presentations on there. But the other item that I wanted to add into this is kind of doing an audit of our computer systems, because it probably was a month ago I stopped in. And Mary Hylands was there, and she said, "You know stuff about computers." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Can you look at mine?" And it basically was out of space.
and her computer had an 80 gig hard drive. And I don't think I could buy an 80 gig hard drive if I tried. So I have a feeling that we have a lot of computer systems that are ancient and really need to, so I think we really need to do an audit of our computer system so that we're at budget time. We know what we really should be looking at replacement. Not only is it old and not a lot of space, but that means that that computer's been running that long, and one of these days it's just going to crash and she's going to lose a lot of information. So I think it's wise to look at all these machines and kind of come up with a plan for this kind of stuff.
And the McAfee or Norton, whatever you...
Well, I'm sure...
Updated or not updated.
Well, then I don't know, but that, yeah, just having some kind of audit on these machines just so we can keep the technology current. You know, that was kind of a... At the League of Municipalities conference in November that I went to a number of sessions, and the one thing that was very enlightening is there was a gentleman from their cyber security from New Jersey, and they said they were talking about hackers and exactly that, and that the number that astounded me is that he said that the state of New Jersey gets attempted to be hacked 1.2 million times a day.
Makes sense.
So not having good computers, current computers, you know, good firewalls, all the items that are current, it leaves holes, it leaves spaces. So I think it's important for us to stay on top of that and look at what we have to keep it safe. And
just if you don't mind,
yes.
Just so you know, Statewide Insurance actually did something a year or so ago, and they went into all of our computers, our IP accounts, I guess that's what people call it,
addresses.
And we were found to be, I guess, within the realm of safe compared to other municipalities. Thank goodness we've never had a breach or any problems so far.
Yeah.
But they did do that. They went in and they checked the police department in ours here. I believe they checked, actually, I think they checked all of the IP accounts to make sure. And we fared well.
Any paperwork on that somewhere? Did they leave any?
I might have. You know, it was about a year or so. I'll have to see.
Okay.
Because I mean, yeah, sure, they could get you that too.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to.
I do. I think I may have actually an email from them.
Okay. The other item that they brought up is that, you know, they said sometimes they don't. They can be very innocuous the way they get in, and they did an example of another municipality that somehow the person who was the treasurer had gotten a small virus on her computer that only activated whenever she went on a banking site. And all it did was alert the person that she was on the banking site. So then they would call the municipality as if they were the bank that it, because it would tell it that it would, in that little packet, it said it was whatever, say TD Bank. So they would call up, spoof the number of TD Bank and say, hey, we see you're logged on, we have an issue with your account. Can you log off and log back on again? When they did that, it would get the passwords and log on information, and then when she was all done, send it to that person, and they transferred like $1 some odd million out of the municipal account.
Wow.
So it could be very what seems innocent, you know. So yeah, it's
we don't think like that.
No, we don't.
They're always ahead of us.
That's right. Way ahead.
So, yeah, just silly things like that. And they're like, you know, they're always saying, like, hey, if you ever get a call from the bank, say, okay, I'm busy right now, hang up and call your bank back and say, hey, did you call me? You know, and that's true for anybody, you know, or municipality or just personal, you know. You should never be getting a phone call like that from a bank. So that's really kind of the intent here as far as the technology side of things. You know, Bev, you know, I wanted to kind of be... you know, leading it just because she has, you know, like let's say term, some, you know, time to do some of this stuff and energy and, you know, energetic, as I said, and I think.
Yeah, I learned quickly.
But obviously, you know, I have a good knowledge in it, so I would be part of it unless somebody else wanted to be it. But that's where the way I saw the subcommittee would be Bev and myself.
I was thinking Tom.
The dinosaur.
Tom.
I'll motion that.
I'll second the motion.
Of Tom?
You just motioned yourself.
Okay. And roll call?
Yes.
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 Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
You.
You'll usually just be a little piece of cardboard that says iPad on it.
Then we have here the Federal Aviation Administration Private Airport Data Survey. From what I understand, and I think Mike had asked Warren, and this was my only knowledge, is the only place that we have, quote-unquote, any kind of selected area is behind here, the Municipal Building Rescue
Squad. It's on the other side of the hedgerow.
Yeah, it's like the middle of the soccer field.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really just to retain that. Is this correct? Is we just have to fill this out and approve this to retain that?
Right, and Warren just wanted to know if you wanted to keep that status back there or not, or if you just wanted for it to go away.
And to his credit, Warren reached out to me as the liaison to DPW, and I just went over with him. It costs us nothing or very, very nominal fee to renew the number. It takes him no maintenance. He says there are no requirements of special mowing or tree trimming or anything. So as I discussed with him, it's sort of an option to keep something for the future that I assume we would never get approved again if we tried to do it again.
I don't see a reason to deny it and I'd say, or get rid of it unless somebody else has a good reason. I mean, I think I 4 or 5 years ago, I know the state police dropped a helicopter there as a show and tell kind of thing for one of the events. But other than that,
I do have a question. Can that be used by anyone, or do they have to receive approval in order to land there?
That I
because
don't know.
The only concern that I have, and I spoke with Dick about this today, if you recall when Groendijk was in to review your policy for the your insurance, they mentioned that little rider for, Tom, do you remember what it was called?
It was about if we hired an airplane.
Aircraft, right. Something mm-hmm. with aircraft, and yep. We were all like, well, why would we need that? If anyone can land there, that I don't know if that's something you might want to consider then, having that.
I assume it's private property.
Well, that we did discuss that.
Even though it's a designated heliport, it's private property.
Isn't it on township property?
It's public.
But I mean, public. But it's township. Okay, but it's not a public airport.
Right. Correct. In other words, somebody would have to get your permission.
That's the question.
Use it, I think. Yeah. I assume. Okay. And I didn't even know you had one.
Right.
And I assume I'm not sure how you got it, or is there a conditions? Are there any conditions?
Not that I'm aware.
I think that's a good question. Unless we have to do it tonight, I'd be prepared to follow up. And
I think it always seems like it's already past some of the dates.
7 days to receive this letter.
Yeah, and it was like the 10th. This last year we got it.
December 21st.
Yeah. So, we got it in the
7 days.
Yeah.
If somebody of significance lands there, who gets the expense, police, fire, emergency? Does that come back on us?
Well, that should be the only people that are landing there, really, would be the medevac helicopter.
Yeah, medevac can go anywhere they want.
Yeah.
They don't need a landing spot.
But if it's open to beyond
that. I watched one drop on the median of 22.
Is it just medevac or is it beyond?
Well, it's the mayor's helicopter also.
Yes. Yeah. It's kept in the back.
I mean, how open is this private spot? I mean,
that's
is
my question, yeah.
Right.
Say the governor wanted to land there for some reason or another.
He's going to land here.
Okay, do we have to have, is it going to incur any extra expense on the municipality's part? That's the only thing.
Like I said, this last time I knew one was a state police helicopter landed there a few years ago.
Yeah.
For
I don't think we need to overcomplicate it.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's
it had
the
to
insurance. That's the only thing that I was thinking.
The insurance was related to us hiring them, and that's where it came about with the Gypsy Moth thing, because we would be hiring this helicopter, this airplane to spray. So that's why
a resident had his license and was able to land in town that we had it, wasn't that?
That's why it was there, and that's why I question whether or not it can be used by individuals. And if that's the case, we just need to make sure we're protected, that's all.
Right.
So, it's been designated as an airport for X amount of years back here.
Years and years and years.
Airport or a helicopter?
Heliport, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Does the fire department use that? I mean, is that a reason for that to be there? Ron, go ahead.
Years ago,
state your name for everyone.
I have a little information on how we got the heliport. I'll explain it to you. Maybe. Photograph was right there.
That's right.
Flew for Pure later. air filter. He had a heliport here. He had one designated over at his house.
I see.
And what the township did, he retired from there, left there, and they said, we have it, we'll keep it. That's why it originally came in. Sometimes he did land here because he took the helicopter home. No attended his meetings or whatever.
Wasn't it a couple of years back the fire department wanted to do with North Star or South Star wanted to have a landing and do it?
They make the arrangements. How they actually do it, Jim, I'm not sure, but they make the arrangements where they're going to land. A lot of times they'll land on a ball field. Well, it's a school where there's a large area. I don't think the fact that this is a registered heliport makes any difference for them.
And there's one other question that bothers me. If this has been a heliport for X amount of years, the monopole has gone up after. Is that an issue?
I asked Warren. He said that the monopole was below the requirement of needing a light. I did ask him the monopole.
We don't need a light. No. We don't have to mark any changes if we want to continue.
That's according to Warren. The only question we don't know is whether this lets people...
Yeah,
you know, if any helicopter pilot could land there because it's on public land.
I think actually, if I'm not mistaken, one of the Black Hawk helicopters landed back there once, too. But that's a military helicopter. I don't know if that needs approval either.
No,
it landed.
You can try. You may not survive.
So what's the thoughts?
It's been here. I don't have a problem with staying here.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. So we have a motion to basically send this to approve or whatever paper we have to send back to continue it?
Yeah, Warren will fill it out and send it back.
Okay.
I second.
Well, I need a motion first.
Oh, I thought you made the motion.
No, I'm looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion to send the paperwork back to keep the Lebanon Township Municipal Building private airport open.
Teleport.
It says airport here. No, it doesn't. Yeah, yeah, it says airport.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. We have the Musconetcon Watershed Association. This we did last year also. It's we basically provide them with $250, as I recall. And they also then provide the education services and helps in getting our 10 points annually we need from the NJDEP towards stormwater management and all that other happy stuff. So basically, I'm looking for a motion to approve sending the MWA their $250 so that they can do the educational programming.
I'll make the motion to approve the Musconetcon Watershed Association correspondence.
Yeah, municipal membership.
Membership fee.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Page 2. Okay. This is the Voorhees Vikings Booster Club. They are looking to have a raffle on 5/22/2017 at 7 p.m. Obviously, it is to benefit the booster clubs. Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the Voorhees Vikings Booster Club application for raffle license.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Then we have a application to renew a junkyard lease. Bird's Auto Salvage at 591 East Hill Road in Glen Gardner. Can I get a motion to approve the renewal?
I'll make that motion to approve the renewal for Bird's Auto Salvage.
Second.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 And we have another renewal application for junkyard license for A.S. Malkowski & Sons at 249 Rocky Run Road. Can I get a motion to approve the renewal?
I'll make that motion to approve the renewal for the A.S. Malkowski & Sons junkyard license.
I'll second that emotion. That emotion.
Emotion.
That song. I'm thinking of that song. Second that emotion. I'll second that motion.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 You. Bev, do you want to do an update to Brian on where we are with the animal control officer?
Yes. It was brought to our attention that we needed to have animal control in the township. How are we going to continue our animal control, especially because our dear Judy is no longer with us?
Well,
and she played
totally different.
Well, we're being told we need an officer and.
But they're two different.
Right.
This is two different things. But yeah, there's a relation there.
But we have to encompass the whole thing under one.
The biggest issue was our current person does not do quarantining and doing quarantine checks, and that has been put on our. Luckily, our chief of police has taken that duty on, and for whatever reason, once he did, we seem to have a lot of dog incidents. So it has become also a burden for him. So that's the big driving force in this, and the person that we have does not want to do it or is not willing to do it at all. So
right. And so what I did was I took a step back, though, too, and Brian and Karen and I and Chief Gale met on the 10th and discussed just what car our animal needs, because we received three different proposals from the county that were approved by the county, and you look at these proposals, and some of them are turnkey, and it's a one flat fee for the year. Some of them are ad hoc and with a lot of pass-through expenses, and when I looked at that, it's hard to interview or even think about picking somebody like that until you really can define just what is your scope of animal requirements and who's going to do what. And so we got into Chief Gale. He would like to be the single point of contact for most incidents, but there are those incidents that might be out of his control and might have to go to a higher level, and he would be notified. For example, rabies vector type animals, if you get an incident like that and it has to be reported to the DEP, that is first point of contact, I guess, with the police. So given all that confusion, I put together a grid that we can use, our subcommittee can use in our next meeting, which we're going to have to set the date up for that in a week from now, because Chief Gale is out too, and he's an integral part of this whole discussion. And just go through yes, no, yes, no. Are these nice to haves for an animal control officer? Are they required by the state? Are the police willing to take on what's nice to have but not required by the state? Is there, another licensing agent that's taking over? So I put it together in a grid, and the committee should be able to go through this in an hour or two and just at least nail down what the scope of our township's requirements are. Then we can interview the three candidates plus any other that might come up in the meantime and make a decision on cost and quality of service as to what we need, because, there were some, like I said, that were beautiful turnkey operations, but they were more expensive than what I'm seeing from some of our vouchers we're spending. Do we need that level of support? If we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. But we have to sit down as a team and just quickly hammer through that. That's my take on the whole thing.
And the Judy side of things was the dog census kind of was more of what she kind of took care of, is going around the township and finding people who had dogs and reminding these people. So that's I know there was one of them, at least one of them when I read, that they said they would provide the dog census service.
Yeah, canvassing.
So that item is definitely a thing of, thought and consideration in this process. So obviously you're still working.
Right, and I also have, I sent out New Jersey municipality best practices on animal control from a legal perspective and from a service perspective. So we could look at that as well. It's got all the statutes and everything.
And the other side of it's going to be we're going to have to amend our ordinance that we have, because it doesn't include cats, which seems to be one of our bigger problems in the dogs lately, and livestock and other type of animals. So we're going to need to make an amendment to that.
Yeah, because I know we had a cow that decided to wander around like last year.
It could be veterinarian fees involved and stuff like that, especially if we can't find out who the owner may be of any of these animals.
And that was the other question for Dick. The question came up, if an animal has to be treated and the owner doesn't pay, does it have to come back on the township to pay the bill?
I think that's been the normal practice when you bring the animal in,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you're asking the vet to do whoever has to, whatever has mm-hmm. to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And if the township doesn't pay and the owner isn't paying,
mm-hmm.
it seems unfair to the vet when the mm-hmm. township asked right. the vet to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So normally, I'm not sure it's a major problem with that. If it's an abandoned animal or a sick cat or something like that, that, you know, you may not have an owner.
Right.
But with dogs, usually you can find out who it is because they're licensed.
There are about 20 different scenarios on the grid
we
have to look into.
So that also would have to be incorporated into the amendment in the ordinance to make sure that we recoup at least mm-hmm. as much as we possibly can.
Right.
In the interim, is Kim Bennett continuing the service from last year on a month-to-month basis?
We really didn't get an email back,
I never received
right?
a response from her.
Maybe we could put that out to her again. I don't know.
I can email her again.
I guess we haven't had any incidents to call.
There was one loose dog this weekend, but the police took care of it.
I believe the chief thought last year there was about 15 calls with the dogs, roughly.
At the end of the year, we were bombarded with them. Mm-hmm. Bites. There were quite a few bites we had.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So more to follow on that.
Sounds like you've got it under control, though.
Yeah.
And the one suggestion was, if a cat comes to your house, don't feed it, don't let it in.
That's on here, too. I have it all. I thought about every single possible scenario.
You may own it after that.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Beth.
Thank you, Brian, for all the guidance.
Well, you did all the work.
The next two items kind of go together, which are reviewing and looking over the amendments to a lease for the fire department for the Station 2. The reason this came about is because of the next item, which was J, is their rental hall agreement. The current lease with them does not allow them to rent the building out. So the amendment to this, the lease agreement, would allow them to do that. The big items in here that, and I don't, Jimmy, if you want to come up and just so we talk about this and what your, if did you get a chance to review it and look over it, and did you have any issues with the lease?
James Crampton, Loving Township Fire Department. I did briefly review it. I couldn't see anything that was opposed to fire department's wants out of this.
Okay, because I mean, the items that, I mean, I had talked with Tara when she had redone it. The biggest items that I kind of came up on my own was the hours, the limitations of hours of operation. Basically, on weekdays and Sundays, 11 p.m. is the cutoff, and then Fridays and Saturdays at midnight.
I didn't see an issue with that because the way we plan on holding hall rentals is that there's going to be a crew of guys that are assigned to kind of babysit the hall rental.
Okay.
And I know, me personally, I don't want to be there much past 12 o'clock or so on. So.
And I figured this for noise and, you know, disturbance to the neighbors. You know, we didn't want it to, you know, become hated. And it kind of coincides with, I think, the way that the park is rented also. So those are the big items, you know, the big items in there, and then along with allowing them to rent it.
My question on the hours is, the whole rental agreement, it would specify, for example, if we say it can be used until 12 midnight, in the rental agreement it actually says that would mean 11 o'clock so that there's an hour for cleanup. And I just wanted to really ask the question. I don't entertain in halls like that, whether that would limit the number of people who wanted to rent. If to control the neighborhood noise and the like, if it could read that the event has to end by 12 and they have to be cleaned up and out by 1, or if, I'm just asking the question, if people believe 11
it's
and 12
him
is
babysitting
fine.
Them.
Yeah, I know. And so that may not be a starter there. But
yeah.
That was the only question I had.
No, that is a valid point. Something I didn't think about is whether that's the event is over by 11 or if we should still have that person there to clean up until a certain time or I mean, obviously, I get Mark's point too with the people across the street that I'm sure they're not going to want.
Yeah, I wouldn't want the people in the party past 12. But the, you know, the whole rental agreement is very clear to say that 12 means the event ends at 11, so you can be cleaned up by 12. Just a question: what would limit the attractiveness of the facility?
I don't think you'd really lose anything coming from a point of view of somebody that would perspective look at renting the building. I don't think you'd lose too many people by saying, listen, your event has to be done by 11. I think for the most part we're looking at either mutual aid companies or mutual aid companies hosting their banquets there or birthday parties or so on and so forth. I don't.
And just to be clear, that the way it reads, it's it would be 11/midnight on Friday and Saturday, 10/11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday.
Yeah,
it reads now an hour earlier on weeknights.
Right. So that it'd be everything be out and done at 11.
By 11, which means an event would have to end by 10, which on a weeknight sounds reasonable.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, having talked to some other departments that rent halls, their main hall rental period is Friday and Saturday nights. Mm-hmm. They don't get too much as far as weekday rentals.
That's what I figured. So, yeah.
Were you looking to finalize this tonight, or what do you want to do with small
It was initially here if we needed to get adjustments. Do we then, or do we go to the next path of finalizing? This is step one so that they can continue on their path, you know. So, I mean,
I could make a few, I mean, I won't go through the couple of typos, but another question I had was there was some brainstorming, I think at a pancake breakfast, noting that that kitchen has a Board of Health license to it, and that may be attractive for people who want to
rent it, make it as a commercial kitchen,
rent it to sell to, you know, products to restaurants. Or
that is something I believe that is covered within our hall rental agreement, is that they are to provide their own Board of Health license. That license is for our organization only.
Oh, I didn't pick that up.
Okay. I believe it's in there if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the septic would have to be considered in any kind of thing like that. They're going to have to.
Okay. So if that's not practical, then it's not worth addressing. Section D of the lease agreement talks about the fire department reconstructing the kitchen. If we're renewing the lease, we can delete that section, I assume. That's what I mean. Did you want to go through that kind of detail now, or were you just looking for?
I mean, whatever. If there's, we're going to look at getting this towards approved so that they can then start marketing the building. Yep. So whatever we have to do to get this to be a final lease, that's what the process here is for.
Okay, because then I would delete that section D. And then under section 11, where it says capital improvements and equipment, there's a stipulation, the fourth line down, the fire department will leave all equipment in the building, such as chairs, tables. I think it's worth calling out, such as the kitchen appliances and fixtures, since those were paid for by the township at considerable expense.
Mike, what I missed the paragraph you're referring to.
I'm now on, it's
Let's
labeled.
Let's go back again.
It's paragraph 11.
Oh, go ahead. The first one you started with was D on page 4. Delete the fire department, we construct the kitchen area.
Okay, well, let's start from the very beginning.
Okay.
Not the very beginning, but on page 2.
There you go.
Number okay. Point 2 for the term of the lease.
Yes.
If we're renewing this for 25 years, starting from October 2017, it still says 2014, that would mean this goes to 2042.
That was the original lease agreement.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Do you want to change that? I mean, it's up to you.
Well, we either have to make it... This lease supersedes the previous lease, so we either make this 23 years or 25 years.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I would just make it 25 and 2042, and then it's the second time it's there.
That's another question I have about that. Can this lease now, it's 25-year term, can it be superseded again with something else if we want to make changes, or are we locked in?
We can amend it.
The same way we're doing it.
Both parties have to agree to it.
Okay.
But if both parties agree, you can amend it. If both parties don't agree, then the lease, as it's currently drafted, stays until its termination.
So then on page 4,
okay.
Paragraph D.
Just, Mike, do you want to change the where it says 2039? Do you want to?
2042.
It would be 2042.
2042, right, okay. Right.
And it says that twice. And then
yeah, that's what I mean, the second one I was looking at, right? Okay. So what page?
Now to page 4, paragraph D.
Okay.
I think that could be struck because it's not longer relevant.
How about E? Did E is okay?
E is out.
D is out in its entirety since it's realistically done.
But I think E is still, I didn't find a problem with that.
Find in paragraph 7. Is that right? Paragraph E refers to paragraph 7? Should refer to paragraph 8, shouldn't it? 7 is utilities.
Yes, it should be 8. So then on page 7, paragraph 11, fourth line down where it says the fire department shall also leave all equipment in the building. I would say such as insert kitchen appliances and fixtures.
Yeah,
so we paid for those.
Not yet.
Minor changes on the very last page. The certification, it says State of New Jersey, County of Union. Should I see the end of it? No, on the very back page. There it says Union. And it still says Thomas McKee is mayor. It should be Mark Hill.
Oh, I don't let him sign it.
I know, that's fine.
Where was the county of Union?
Very top.
On the very top left corner. Yeah. The headlines that you never read because.
Yeah.
All right.
I have. Are you done with yours, Mike?
Yep.
Okay. Just a nit thing on page 2, second sentence or second line. A lawsuit insured.
Yeah.
The post 115 filed for bankruptcy should be ensued, I'm assuming.
Yep.
And then I was just wondering, because it's a 25-year lease, if you go to page 6 and it's got the aggregate of less than $10,000 under G, is that something that we'll ever update over the years because $10,000 won't be worth $10,000 in 25 years or 10 years? I don't know how that works, so.
You might want to, I mean, you can change it and tie it in the CPI or something like that if you wanted to, but it's, you know, does it make that much difference?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying.
It's a good point,
case,
and you're right.
Yeah.
But if it turns out that's a problem and the parties mm-hmm. are still friendly, which I'm sure they will be, that could be adjusted later on if need be.
If one every last nit, page 3, second to the bottom. Second line from the bottom. Mm-hmm. In the event
and agreement.
Got it. Now, I did have a question on the hall rental agreement.
Well, before we get there,
yep.
Is there anybody else on the lease? Jimmy, did you have anything on the lease? Okay. So then I'll get... You or Tara will send me a revise so I can get it over to Jim.
Yep. Okay. Actually, that's a question, not necessarily for drafting, but under utilities, it says that the tenant shall pay for all the utilities with the exception of heat. Is that because they're tied into a central boiler? Or
no, we pay for the oil.
Yeah, okay. It's just because we pay for the oil. Okay.
And the same thing again with the amount of years that go by. On page 5, we've got comprehensive liability insurance. Are those amounts enough to... We can leave it and update it if we have to, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, your limits, those are minimum limits.
Mm.
That's your limits too, right?
Currently.
It's the landlord has to obtain that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're going to get whatever insurance you feel is appropriate, so I'm not sure we have to change
minimum.
That.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so any more questions on the lease?
That's it for me.
Okay, then we'll move on to the hall agreement.
So the hall, the question was, as I understood, when someone rents the pavilion, we require them to the renter to demonstrate that they're going to provide insurance. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that.
That's correct.
In this.
There is no provision in there for that.
Okay.
That was a question Tara had for you, whether you wanted to include that. The question was, Karen and I talked about this today, the question becomes, does it present some type of hardship to somebody who would rent? I take it it's not been a hardship to people who are renting the pavilion, because I think they can get a one-day rider on their homeowner's insurance. I don't know, Jim, whether that presents any problems from your standpoint. If you had a bridal shower where somebody didn't have homeowner's insurance, I don't know. It's just we wanted to raise that and have that discussion. But if it hasn't presented a problem with the park rental, I'm not sure why it would present a problem here.
I mean, Kim collects that stuff. It's never seemed to have been an issue, right? I mean, Kim.
No, and Groendijk really strongly has advised that we need to have that. So I don't know if that's a question. It's actually a question that's raised when we have our meeting every year with them, whether or not we do obtain. And actually, when we do receive them, we have to send them down to Groendijk for review. We have to be named additionally insured. We even receive them from the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts when they use the building here for their meetings. Mm. So it's not uncommon, really, to request it. So
perhaps
I think it just protects.
And I guess Kim has gotten used to how, you know, that when that question is asked,
mm-hmm.
what their process is to get it. You know, so that's something that the fire department isn't familiar with. How to what they need to tell them how to get this insurance. We could educate you in how to do that. I mean, since obviously Kim has been doing it for a number of years.
Well, and the issue is also if someone were to say, typically what would happen is we would say, go to your homeowner's insurance company and request a one-day rider for the event. If they say, well, I'm a renter and I don't have that or whatever, then we will contact Groendijk and have that discussion with them to see what they recommend we do.
Okay.
But I think that for the most part, we should always try to protect us and the fire department from any type of liability.
I think that's good advice. Now, can we use the same language that's used in the park rental agreement?
Tara is actually working on that park rental agreement.
Oh, she is. Okay.
The park committee.
So good. And we can get from Groendijk any limits that he feels are reasonable.
Yeah, I believe it's usually $1 million.
One and two, the way it is
in
the lease.
Additionally insured. Yeah, okay. I believe that's what it is.
Was there any other question,
Chad? Okay, so specifically to the rental agreement, because it's separate from the, as opposed to the hall rental conditions. So first a couple of comments there. It reads to me, I just want to confirm this, that we're letting the fire department have the freedom to set the rate.
Correct.
So they say the rate today is $350 for a weekend and they want to make it less on a weekday, or if they find that the market changes and they want to lower it or raise it.
Yeah, and that's the park does that with they based on if it's a business that's renting it or if it's a individual that allows that, you know, if it's a nonprofit, mm-hmm. you know, they give them a better rate because they're, you know, they're supporting some nonprofit. So it allows them, you know, so it, that coincides with what we do at the park. Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with that. I just want to make sure that is the way we're doing it. Under the bottom paragraph there regarding the security deposit, it says that it would be held if there's any damage. Would it make sense to insert or if it's not cleaned up satisfactorily? You know, I'm just thinking if somebody makes a mess of the place and we have to hire somebody to buff the floor or do something beyond damage, I don't know what's normal in that.
That seems
situation.
Reasonable. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so we can add condition.
Okay. And so then that was my only comment on the
agreement.
Rental agreement.
So is there any other, did anybody else have any other comments on the rental agreement?
Yeah, there were the two different time frames depending on the day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to update on here. It only has the one set time, which is includes the setup and cleanup must end by 11 p.m. and cleanup must be completed by 12, but I think that's on the Friday, Saturday.
The dates aren't specified in there.
Right, Friday, so Saturday was 12 a.m. with cleanup by 1 a.m., or is it 11?
Well, 11 and 12 and 10 and 11.
Right, that's right.
So do you see that, Dick, is the days of the week aren't in there? Yeah,
second to last paragraph. You just need to add a clause for Sunday through Thursday, separate from Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. And while we're on that topic, in the whole rental conditions, that shows up again in paragraph 9.
Paragraph 9.
9 strike 7. If you see how it's read. Yeah.
I promise I'm having trouble with my glasses with me today. So it's the ninth paragraph down.
Yes. There's the little number 9 and struck out 7 right next to it, depending on which number you can see better.
Are you on the conditions?
I'm on the whole rental conditions.
Oh, you swapped.
Yeah, that's why I said while we're on that, I just went.
Oh, no, we were on
the same topic of the days.
Oh.
So that topic I went to.
Oh, it's on that too. Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Paragraph 9 also deals with we'll cease by 11, but.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where you sell 9 on that. On the rental agreement. I'm like, wait.
And while you're at that, number 7 on the whole conditions rental agreement. Is the 108 people, does that include their servers, any serving staff, or is it just your guests? Because the capacity is the building.
That's the maximum, according to the fire officials.
So they would need to factor that in. The people would need to know if they're hiring help. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the question. I know you're thinking about other things. Should we accommodate in this for expansion, or should we just have to come back for this as a renewal? And I know you're like thinking about like another area.
I prefer to handle that down the road. That way, it's in the rental agreement that your maximum is 108. People.
And when you guys are ready for something else, you'll come back.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
So here's a question for you, Dick Cushing. Starting at the paragraph number 1, it says the lessee, which in this case is the fire department, or is it the renter?
Lessor is the fire department.
Is the lessee us?
Oh, the lessee is us, right? I'm sorry. Yep.
Oh.
Who's the lessor?
We're the lessor, they're the lessee.
The fire department, as opposed to the person executing the rental agreement.
Person executing the rental agreement is the lessee.
In this, because it says the lessee, I wanted to confirm that. So the lessee is responsible for preservation of order and for all observance. And my question is, how far does that requirement to preserve order extend?
Well, the lessee is the person who's renting it.
Correct.
That's what it,
not so, us.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And not them.
So the person is renting it, they're responsible for maintaining order to the doorway of the building, to the parking lot, for the surrounding roads.
Chief, you have any thoughts on that? Well, I mean, look, I think that's sort of like precatory language. It kind of gives some advice there. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if a brawl breaks out, the police are going to come and maintain order, right? And whether it's in the parking lot or in the hall itself, right?
I'm just looking for what liability could come back to the township. So that fight breaks out into the parking lot or onto the public road, and somebody says, hold it, Lebanon Township, you own that building.
Right.
You didn't provide.
Do you have people on site? You mentioned that you have somebody babysit it.
Yeah, they would more than likely be hanging out for at least the majority of the time over at station 2.
Oh, okay. So they come over, close it up, lock the door, and
check
that's what
every
they do.
Half
right,
hour
right,
or so.
Right. Well, I think there could be some liability if they see something that's there. You know, if they see people who are fighting and just ignore it, then I think the fire company and the township would probably have some liability under those circumstances. You can add, if you want, maintain order in the parking lot. I mean,
I don't know what's normal on that.
Yeah.
That's my question.
I haven't seen a clause that says they have to maintain order, but I think it's a good clause, and I'm not sure whether it puts kind of a burden on a renter to say, hey, you got to go out in the parking lot and make sure a couple of your guests aren't getting into a fight. I mean, you've got a bride there or whatever. It seems like a rather extreme type of obligation. Now, the question is with the township. The township is no one there, and the hall is rented bare, and they have the obligation to indemnify the township, and there's insurance. Hopefully that would cover where you are. The indemnification clause is the critical language there.
Okay.
Because that holds them responsible, and you know.
Whether you're in the building or outside the parking lot, it wouldn't matter.
I would say that the answer is the indemnification clause would apply.
And if it's spilled out into Memorial Park, for example, which could be more likely on a nice summer night.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm not sure you'd have any more liability there, Bev, whether you have five teenagers out there playing basketball at 9 o'clock, throwing down some beers, and they get into a fight or knock anybody over. Do you have liability there?
I don't know.
Probably not. Mm. Yeah, the answer is, I mean, you provide the park bare without supervision.
Mm-hmm.
So you're providing this bare without supervision. So.
When they get to my house, I'll let the German Shepherds
down. The coyotes don't get them first.
So similar question slash comment in paragraph 4,
right,
where it says the lessee warrants and guarantees that the rental premises will be left in a suitable condition. One question is whether the premises includes the parking lot or whether we want to call that out specifically, because I can imagine cases where cups and cans and, you know, litter is outside the building on a warm summer night.
Do you want to add a clause there that says including policing the parking lot?
Or cleaning. I don't know, policing, whatever the right word would be.
Okay.
But I would like to extend the suitable condition to the parking lot. Hmm. And then in the indemnification clause, so paragraph 5, lessee shall indemnify and hold harmless the lessor. Should we say the lessor and the township? Because the lessor is then the fire department.
I think that's a good point.
And leaves a hole for us, okay.
Firstborn child will be left as security.
Nit of the night, paragraph 15.
Yep.
Second to last line. The same by the lessor, then this agreement rather than then.
Okay, you're going to have to help me find this since these are not number. Page 1 or page 2?
Page 2, paragraph 15.
Okay.
Third line down.
I'll wait for the revised copy.
Next paragraph. The consumption of food and beverages is prohibited.
No.
It says in the outside of a building.
February 1st.
Yeah, I saw that.
That should obviously be
for a file.
Either in the areas outside the building or
which number was that?
Number 16. The next paragraph.
Yeah, 4.
Consumption of food and beverages prohibited in the area. Outside the building or just outside the building? It says in the outside.
Outside the building.
Right.
There is prohibited outside the building.
Yeah.
Outside the building. Got it.
And now, not a drafting comment, but a bigger question. Given that we have that expensive, you know, kitchen that's been put in there, do we need any clause for misuse of the kitchen?
Not really
per repair replace of the kitchen.
They're not really supposed to use it.
Well, I thought there was a rate schedule that if they do use the kitchen, it's an additional fee, et cetera, et cetera.
For warming food.
I think they're allowed to warm food
under
the standard contract, and if they want to prepare food and actually contemplate that they can utilize the whole oven.
There will be additional applied for that.
And so I'm just wondering if we want to call out, for example, if they put a plastic bucket and turn the griddle on.
I agree.
There's some language in that. If they're going to use that and have the ability to cook on that,
some cost of repair or replacement if
something.
Negligence. I don't know what the right wording would be, but
misuse.
That wouldn't be covered under the earlier comment.
It's 119, right?
Right, but I'm wondering they're indemnifying us, right?
I agree. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty airtight indemnification. I'm just wondering if we want to avoid
as sort of an advisory, if nothing else. So.
Again, in number 19, rather, right. Where we're talking about the use of the stoves,
mm-hmm.
because we allow the use of the stoves for an additional fee.
Right. So, what do you want to say there, Mike?
Something along the lines of misuse or negligence.
About tenant should be lessee.
Kitchen appliances.
Lessee shall be responsible for any damage to.
Yeah.
For any. I mean, the challenge is always, some of them have motors and the like in. Those will fail at some point in time. If they happen to fail, but it's not for misuse, I assume we don't charge them. For the repair, so it's right. It's really for misuse of equipment.
So, well, would this lessee will be responsible for any damage to the kitchen equipment? Is that addressed adequately?
I think so. I rely on you.
Yeah, but I mean, what you're trying to get at is, my question is, do you want to have from misuse, or do you want to just say it's responsible to any damage to the kitchen? Seems to me
it's
broader is better. That's what I think.
Broader is better.
Okay.
And a question when we review this with Kroendijk, whether our insurance policy covers damage to the equipment, through accidents. Let's say they claim the bucket fell, it was an accident, it wasn't misuse. Will our insurance company, pay $5,000 for a griddle that's now, unusable?
Mm-hmm. If it's probably not from wear and tear, if it's from an event,
mm-hmm.
fire, some kind of discrete event, then mm-hmm. I think that would be covered under your first party coverage. But you can confirm that with comms people.
And then I had a question, too, because I know the Board of Health has, they tell you not to use one sink for washing your hands. Like if you're serving, I guess, the food in the one sink and you wash your hands in the other sink. I don't know if we have that situation you can't.
Well, they have you had designated sinks.
We do have designated sinks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't.
The county came and inspected the kitchen, right? Yeah, then they have to comply.
They have
the county
to comply.
Does an inspection, yeah. In order for them to be issued the Board of Health permit,
mm-hmm.
the county has to inspect.
So
and
hopefully
that
the people
would have
apply.
To comply to
so that's it. They'd have to,
adhere to their rules.
And we don't have to tell them that. They just.
I mean, you're labeled. When I was in there the other day, it's very clearly labeled on the sinks what is what.
Okay.
Yeah, I would be inclined to avoid telling them how to fulfill the Board of Health obligations, because then if you don't tell them everything, I think that's a Board of Health responsibility.
Well, I believe also if it's a
meaning the county Board of Health.
If it's a private party and you're not purchasing the food, then I don't believe that applies anyway.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
I have no further comments.
Any other items?
No.
Okay. So, did you have anything else, or you?
Yeah, my only question is because we did advertise this before the new year that we were going to start renting.
Okay.
We do have a rental scheduled.
Okay.
I don't know where.
When is it scheduled?
When do they start, Chief? When do they start?
The 21st.
Of this month.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
This all came about because we had drafted our own rental agreement, and then the membership had requested in our meeting that we approach you guys about that.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we give it our best shot to get everything incorporated here? We'll shoot it off to the chief. They can use it, and then we'll make sure it meets with your approval. But in the meantime, at least we'll have an agreement to use. Does that make sense?
And an indemnification.
Yeah, and we'll make these corrections. We'll shoot you off a copy. Then you can use it, and then if the next meeting we've missed something or, we can finalize it. Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, just then with the lease agreement that doesn't really include them.
I think under the current lease agreement, you guys can approve us on a case-by-case basis.
Right. Which
okay.
Be what I was
so then I think we at this point, then we should approve your 21st.
Around, and after that, we'll wait until the amendment lease is done. And
right, and then this is amended. We should be able to have this on the next meeting to be approved, and then signatures, et cetera.
Do you want to approve any use between now and the next meeting so they don't lose a rental?
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Oh, they only have one. Okay. Yeah. If one, another one comes up.
Two extra guys on, that's all.
Well, okay. So the insurance one isn't that a huge.
Okay. And that was...
They're the ones you got to watch out for.
January 21st?
That's
the
hardest I've ever been to.
Okay. So you'll get them the agreements.
Yep.
And then... we'll need a motion to allow the fire department for the rental for January 21st rental of the hall until we have finalizations of the lease agreement. Finalize? Yes? No? Can I? So
I'll make the motion to
allow
rental of the Squad 3 building under the existing lease agreement on January 21st.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 So that's taken care of. They can have their party. then you'll get him the revised conditions and rental agreement so that can be...
And we'll send them up to you, and then yep. Next meeting you can finalize them.
Right. Okay. And I think Tara has Jimmy's chief...
Yeah, that's the department email.
So. Yeah, so that it gets to you guys.
Yeah.
And okay. We will have this review.
Chief, if you don't have that by, say...
Yeah, we'll send it down.
Well, today is Thursday. Today is, what, the 18th, so you got it 3 days. Okay, if you don't have that by, say, midday on Friday, give us a call. Oh, okay. Yeah, just to make sure we don't drop the ball.
Okay. Awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Not that we ever do.
No. Okay. No.
Do you want
to? Goes without saying.
I think you could approve it conditionally to get properly
forever. Too many pieces of paper here.
I know, the mine is starting to encroach into yours.
So we're going to table both.
Both are tabled. We'll get them back to us for final approvals. Dick is going to send them to Jim for his use on the 21st. We approve their use of on the 21st.
Okay.
And then we'll then hopefully have on the February 1st.
Okay.
Is that...
No, because we do it on a case-by-case basis, depending on what it is. So, yeah. I'll talk to Groundike about it, and then we'll take it from there. Okay.
And I'll just...
Okay, so you'll reach back out to him if they need to get it?
Correct.
I'm sorry?
You'll reach back out to Jim if Groundike says they recommend it then?
There's two groups.
They're definitely going to recommend it. I just want to... I want to see how they want to proceed with it.
Okay.
Every time there's like a one-year-old's birthday party, can they?
I'm pretty sure.
What do they want for something like that?
Okay.
If it's going to be.
So either way, you're going to get back to Jim as to what they need.
Yeah, I'm going to look into it. But I think it still needs to be stated in the agreement that they require it, and then like Rowandyke make the decision. Well, okay, in this instance, we're not so concerned.
The verification.
Okay.
I think if you're having an evening party where there's going to be alcohol served and things like that, it's one thing.
It's a different story.
As opposed to 1-year-old's birthday party.
Right.
Unless it's a bunch of rowdy 1-year-olds.
But I was just doing a 1-year-old birthday party and they had beer
okay.
and wine.
Subject to their, getting.
Okay. Is there any other old business, new business before we go on to vouchers? Good. Brian, you're up.
Only have one. It's for Con Edison Development. It's for the balance from a cash bond refund in the amount of $1,238.75.
Okay.
You're up, Beth.
I have a bill from Mr. John for $99.04 for a standard temporary restroom with hand sanitizer and a fuel service charge.
That's it.
That's out.
You only need to read out over 1,000.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right. Then. Oh, okay. Then I don't need this one. I don't need this one. This one is This one was, these were signed last time, but they ended up back in my folder, so I'm not going to talk about them. They were the school disbursement taxes things. No, that's it. I don't have anything over $1,000, so.
Okay, this one is for U.S.
Yeah.
U.S. Bank. This is NJEIT loan due for $3,702.14. And TD Bank, also loan due for the institutional trust, $5,090.34. Quest Environmental, Firehouse One, Reporting and Management, $2,865. General Code Publishers for the annual maintenance fees, $1,195. Cornerstone Printing, the winter newsletter, $1,919.63. Cooperative Communications, $1,042.63.
So I've got the New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan, $42,396.91. I've got the first quarterly installment of the annual audit fee, $7,457. Got Atlantic Salt Incorporated for $11,082.47. I've got Econo Signs, which is for 25 10-foot channel post signs, $1,052.50. Finch Oil Company, which is for the DPW Municipal Building and Library, $1,672.72. Diesel fuel for the DPW trucks, $1,893.39. Advertising for the DPW positions, $2,166.40. Radio equipment for the DPW trucks, $2,055. And the Morris County Co-op fee, $1,100.
I have one here for Lavery Salvetti, Avaramus and Cohen Trust Account. This is an escrow account for eConsult. I want to approve this for $1,500, but I'd like to subject this to verification with a discussion with our attorney here. This is relating to fair share housing.
Okay. Can I get then a motion to approve the vouchers with the one that Tom had pulled as a question?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Thank you. Correspondence, tax collector's report for the month of December 2016, tax year 2016, $273,453.35, tax year 2017 prepaid, $71,281.53, interest, $7,809.52, in lieu taxes is a $572.72. For a total of $351,971.68. Then we have the tax collector's annual report. Total for January 11, 2017, total amount collected, which includes 2016 taxes, 2015 taxes, 2011 taxes, some 2012 taxes, 2017 taxes prepaid, interest in lieu taxes, trailer court fees, 2015 year-end penalties, interest on penalties, return check charge, tax sales premiums for 2015, tax lieu redemptions outside and municipal, and tax sales costs for a total of $20,534,630.01. We have minutes from the Library Committee for review, Recreation, and the EOSC, discussing what they've done over, some of these are for November, December, and September, multiple months, October, November,
meetings for all those groups. Now is public comment. Can I get a motion to open a public comment?
Make a motion to open it to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Yes.
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow Road. I'd just like to thank the committee for approving our bathroom, and it's been like years and years that we've been working on it.
Well, the process. We're getting there. We approve the next step. it's a whole process.
It's been a long process. And I agree with you that you're taking Adam. When I talked to Mike today, I told him Adam would be a good person. He said that's who you were thinking of. He was telling me about your social media. And on the roadway, Brian mentioned on 31 where you do that in what they call it Irish Town, that you has agreed to keep plowing. According to the records in the county, that the township did not vacate that. They only vacated the one where English homes. So that was in there. And also on this thing where they're talking about this wireless nodes, Dick was saying that the only thing that the town that can be on that 50-foot right-of-way is utility, and that Verizon Wireless has not considered it. So when they go put up these poles other places, then will we have more of a say in where they go? Like, I already have one pole at the end of my property, but I wouldn't want one right in the front of my yard. You know, and that's not, it doesn't have to be there because it's not on our.
Right. Well, that's also think part of this process is.
And when she spoke, when you said asked her who's going to maintain them, she said that Verizon Phone Company would maintain them. We don't have Verizon Phone Company. We have CenturyLink, so they're not Verizon Phone Company poles.
I think the question did come up is if it was a new pole.
Tom had asked about who is going to maintain the poles. Like one of your questions was. If something happened to the pole, who's going to maintain it? And she came back and said it was Verizon Phone Company would be the ones that will be maintaining it. We don't have, because most of the state has Verizon. We have CenturyLink, just a few little places. And Hunterdon County's one. So we don't. So Verizon isn't one. CenturyLink is responsible for them poles. So you have to see if CenturyLink will take care of
it. It could also be JCP&L, too, depending on the poll.
Yeah, but you're talking on the phone company. She's saying that, well, Verizon, which is most of the state, will come. Right. They maintain.
Yeah, I don't know, and that's what the whole point of this is. So I think we have to take a step back.
So they won't be the ones coming in. They'll have to deal with CenturyLink. So CenturyLink might say, we were not going
to. Lori, I think they'll probably try to locate them on whatever polls would be in the vicinity of where they want to locate this stuff, and if it happens to be a CenturyLink poll, then they would work out an agreement with CenturyLink to be able to locate them on the CenturyLink pole.
That's what they'll all be.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned where they're going to stick up poles.
Buffalo Hollow Road.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Lots of
them. Yeah, she actually said that Verizon has agreements with JCP&L, PSE&G, and Verizon Telephone for.
Yeah, but not CenturyLink.
Yeah, I don't know. That's three that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Is there any other public comment?
Ron Mikowski, Raccoon Road. One quick question and possibly a comment. On Musconetcon River Road, is there natural gas through there now? The reason I'm saying is the museum, the addition we're putting on, more than likely you're going to have to go with a new boiler when that finally comes around, and it's probably going to be oil if there's no natural gas. What I'd like to see them to do is at least put the footing in at this time, because more than likely we'd go on the in facing the river chimney, if you were to put a chimney in for a boiler.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right at the peak.
Well, the oil boilers, you don't even need a chimney anymore. They can go right out of sidewall.
I don't think we're going to go to that expensive one.
They're not expensive.
Much more than good. But my point is, if you put the footing in now, because there's going to be a footing drain around there, it's going to be below grade. I hate to see them come back later, dig it up, yeah, we'll tie it back in and create a low spot to create water in the basement. All I'm asking is if you, just the footing for chimney, future chimney. That way all you do is excavate down to it. If you need it, if not, well, it stays buried. Like you say, if they do go to a high-end system, they may not need it. Just trying to. Yeah. That was all. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary Mikowski, Rock Run Road. First, I'd like to thank Chris for all the work he's done for the township. It's, you guys realize, saved us a lot of money. And also, he's done a lot for the township fire department. Just giving recognition for that. And number two, this is myself speaking as a resident. Now, as a fireman at all, I'm not representing the fire department in any way. But the new generators that we're getting, I don't know what the specs are or anything, but I would like each of you guys just to look at the way they wired that into our building. It's like up in the air, 2 feet maybe, Chief? It's nothing but a tripping hazard, and it's uglier than old hell. You guys look at it and see. I don't know what the specs say. The one at Station 1 is buried. Why they couldn't bury these two, I don't know. But take a look at that in the daylight and see if you don't agree. Before we pay the bill, I'd like you guys to consider having that just buried underground with conduit like a normal way would be and go in the side where it does now. But they got it above ground, hit it with the mower. Somebody trip over it, trying to get to the fuel tank, it blocks that. It's just not very professional, in my opinion. That's it.
But I've seen Station 1, and I didn't notice anything. That one's fine?
No, Station 1's fine.
Okay.
So that, I think that's the
one. Two
and
three?
Just right here and the squad. Look at those two when you get a chance.
Okay.
And the other thing, I just wanted to comment, you guys did a good job, I think, on the Winding Brook Lane Road. Because if we took it over plowing it, I know exactly what's going to happen. People start using it, and then they're going to say, our traffic went up 70%, we're doing damage to the road, now we want to come in and fix the road because we pay for it, we maintain it now because all the extra traffic, because you're plowing it, people think it's a public road. And we're having trouble with guys with the trucks on the roads that are approved where they're knocking out rears, transmissions, motors, and stuff. That road's nowhere near approved. The youth can imagine what's going to happen to the trucks on that hill. So I think you guys did the right thing on that. Thank you.
Anyone else? Can I get a motion to close?
Make a motion to close the public.
I second that motion. Take it again.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. We're going to go into executive to just discuss some contract with for fire officials, et cetera, and we may come out making a decision as far as interviews or not. So,
I'll make a motion. Would that be resolution 23?
It'll be 23 now because we added the one.
23-2017 to go into executive session as described.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. It's intermission.
I was going to say.
Oh, man. Wow.
Hurry up. I got an app with my name on it at home.
Oh, that's right. You must be really getting hungry. Can you have pretzels?
No. And she got fresh pretzels, too.
Oh, I make my own.
I'm waiting for fresh pretzels.
Oh, don't tell me that.
I do. They're really good, like on a snowy day. I'll make.
Wait, I have to shut the machine on.
Different chocolate.
Oh, you mean like the hard different chocolate? I like the white one.
Burning around?
I don't know what the contract says.
It said above ground. I'm surprised they even.